And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me, as always, on Wednesdays, is my good friend Alex Spears. Alex, what's up?
What's up? I just put a saltine in my mouth.
Oh, wow. Eating on the pod.
It's so dry.
Oh, no. Should have given you more time, Al. There's no time. No.
I need to get real breakfast food. I've just been eating sleeves of saltines every morning.
Is that for real?
Yeah.
Al, we got to get you some magic spoon or something.
Please.
In your mailbox. We got to get you some magic spoon. Help us out, Magic Spoon. Okay, Al, the season's over. The Thunder are tied for fourth in the lottery odds.
Yeah.
And now it's all up to some ping pong balls and just straight up luck for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
It's going to be a blast. It's going to be fun. It's going to be nerve-wracking, but we're in such a better position than other teams. Because we have that Houston pick as well. Yes. And you just got to keep falling back on that. I mean, yes, it could happen. We could get totally screwed, end up with the seventh or eighth, or I think we can even fall to ninth now pick.
Mm, yeah. It's like a 0.8% chance that we could fall to nine, I think.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm looking at the positive. 75% chance of getting at least one top five pick. Yeah. Can't do too much better than that. That's all we really wanted this entire time. Let's see what happens. You know, I'm not feeling bad. I'm over that Clippers game. Done thinking about it. Never want to talk about it again. You know what's so cool is if fortune comes to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and let's say we get one top five pick or two top five picks, we'll never talk about that Clippers game ever again. It'll just be out of our minds forever and ever. It'll become like a trivia question on Deborah Buckets 10 years from now. Now, that said,
we'll talk about it forever.
Yes, that's exactly what I was getting to. So so that game could or could not be a big part of our future. We'll see. Yep. I hope I never have to think about it again.
Oh, I hope. Man,
I was going to say, I've been loving, though, that a lot of people have been tweeting about how blatant it was. It's not just us. People are bringing it up. There was a nice supercut made, like a 2-minute supercut of just how terrible the Clippers were during that
game. It was really egregious. It was absolutely egregious. Did you catch any of the exit interviews, anything that stood out to you? I didn't really discuss it with McKelley on Monday, so didn't know if there's anything that you saw or heard.
I mean, I think Shea saying that he still wasn't 100%. That was probably the most interesting thing because, you know, we're getting closer and closer to Olympics, and who knows if the Olympics are going to happen anymore. But I kind of always just assumed like, oh, there's no chance that Shea wouldn't play in the Olympics. But it seems like it's still something he's dealing with. So who knows? Because I don't think he'll go unless he's 100%. So that was probably the most interesting thing. Other than that, you know, I mean, the emotional stuff from Mike Muscala was pretty good. That was really cool of him to open up like that. And obviously, like, I don't know if there was a guy who didn't want to stay in Oklahoma City. I mean, they were all they all had a lot of high praise for the organization and the city and just their teammates. So, you know, for a team that was truly awful down the stretch, it would be completely understandable if some of those guys were just burned out by this point and like just didn't want to give the energy to talk about what a fun year it was, you know?
Yeah.
But like to a man, they all seem like pretty happy with their situation. which I think overall is looks makes the organization look good.
Yeah, I kind of look back at even some of those Houston postgame interviews during their big losing streak and just how absolutely miserable they were. And even, like, you go read Kelly Eco on The Athletic with Eric Gordon and just how like miserable those guys were.
Right.
And you didn't get a whole lot of that from the Thunder, which I think is just about the culture and the environment that they create within the team. It's real.
Yeah. And I also think it makes a huge difference that, like, the guys leading it aren't, you know, decade veterans who are very used to winning. And this is probably miserable for them. I mean, who knows what it was like for Al Horford, but a lot of the majority of the guys on the Thunder. And in fact, I saw that stat last night during the Hornets game, the percentage of minutes played by first or second year players in the league. And for the Thunder, it was 83%. And like the Hornets were two with like 56%. So I think that makes a huge difference when you have a bunch of young guys who honestly are probably just thrilled to be getting this many minutes on an NBA team. Because if they were not on the Thunder, very few of these guys would be getting these kind of minutes and this kind of role.
No doubt. Yeah, there's a lot of like glad to be here kind of vibes with them, which is good.
It is good because if you're an agent for a guy in the draft, and let's say who's thinking about going like in the 20s, like why would you not target Oklahoma City as a favored destination? Because if your guy is good, he is going to get significant playing time. Like not just, I mean, we talked about Ty Jerome on the Suns. He got 10 minutes per game his first year. Yeah. And he's exactly the kind of like late first round pick who could get a lot of minutes on the Thunder.
And eventually get paid, which is like the big deal for the agents. Like that's what it's all about, is making your guys happy and getting them paid. And if they're succeeding here, it's great. I mean, Enes Kanter's agent's got to be elated that he landed in Oklahoma City. Because does he get that contract if he stays in Utah and he's like the backup center there and is kind of seen as like a villain? I mean, maybe not. He may have been closer to the trajectory he's on now, which is he's kind of bounced around on smaller deals. So maybe he never even gets that big payday. So you want your guys to come here. Even Dion got paid by Miami.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see which of the guys on the current roster end up getting like a decent contract when it comes up again. Because we've talked about, like, I don't think all of these guys can be on this roster going forward, like, obviously, because of all the picks that are coming in. But it'll be interesting to see around the league who the league thinks the Thunder have unearthed as like quality NBA rotation players going forward.
Yeah, no doubt. Sam Presti is supposed to talk tomorrow.
That will
kind of wrap things up for the season for the Thunder until kind of the draft combine, draft lottery, NBA draft, and then free agency. You know, the Thunder likely won't be very involved in free agency, but I would expect, you know, trades and things of that nature to take place at that time. So should be a very interesting offseason, but it's time to take a look back at the season, Alex, and specifically the preseason when we did our over-unders for the NBA. And we do these podcasts, we do the preseason, and then we do the postseason over-unders podcast. And now it's time, Al. It's finally time.
It is time. It is time, finally, because even up until this last week of the season, I was going to do this last week, but there were still like four or five teams where it could have gone either way, including the Thunder.
Right. I know. It's wild.
It is very wild. So I'm just going to read off like a handful at a time. And if any of them stick out to you, let me know. We can talk about them further. But I wanted to start at the top, the best teams in the league, because you and I aced this. We aced it, Andrew, the top four teams in the league. So the top two in both conferences, Utah, Phoenix, Philly, and Brooklyn. We took the over on all four of those.
Nice.
All of them nailed it. All of them had plenty of room to spare. The closest one was Brooklyn, which in retrospect, like, it's pretty impressive that they like beat their over-under by three, considering how often Kevin Durant and Kyrie and James Harden were out of the lineup.
No kidding. I know. That is something. That's where Steve Nash should get some attention, is that he held that, was able to hold that team together through such a rough season.
Yeah, for sure. We both felt really great about Philly, and that definitely came through. I mean, I think just putting a functional team around Joel Embiid really made the difference there. Phoenix and Utah both beat their over-under by over 9 games. So Utah was at 9.5 and Phoenix was at 12.5. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we've talked about this all season, but even the highest expectations for Phoenix had them like at the 4 or 5 spot. And for them to outplay that by such a significant margin is pretty incredible. And I completely understand why people are talking about CP3 as like a top 5 MVP candidate or putting him on the all NBA teams. What I don't understand is the backlash to that. There's some backlash on Twitter to CP3.
What's the backlash?
People just not
counting stats or something?
Yeah, basically. And people just not wanting to believe that Chris Paul, this old, really had that much of an influence on the Suns team. Like, obviously he's been great, but there's all these other players on the Suns that have gotten significantly better, like, you know, Mikal Bridges or Cam Johnson. Jay Crowder's been good. Devin Booker's good, obviously. But for me, as someone who watched CP3 last year and watched him make almost every player on that team significantly better, I mean, Dennis Schroeder, career year. Danilo Gallinari had an amazing year for the Thunder. I just feel like it's obvious that, I can't deny at this point that Chris Paul is having a huge influence on teams.
Yeah. I don't know. That's kind of weird that people are pushing back at something like that so much. It's just, to me, it is like it's stat watching and not watching the games. Because if you watch the games, like, he's their closer. He's controls the offense. I don't know why. That's a wild one. And also helped DeAndre Ayton. I mean, a lot of big guys have been helped by Chris Paul in the past. So I don't know. That's weird.
So the next four, two of them we got right again. The Clippers. The Clippers over-under going into the season, 46.5. That was one of my locks. I felt like the Clippers were so underrated coming into the season because of what happened in the bubble. Everyone was just writing them off, wanting to say playoff P over and over again. I was so confident. Yeah. Well, Andrew, they beat it, but they beat it by 0.5 game.
Yeah.
The Clippers. But it still counts.
Hey, you still get there.
The other one that was very surprising, we both took the over on Portland, preseason over under 40.5. They end up at 42. So they only beat it by 1.5 games. And when you think back to all the injuries they had with CJ and Nurk being out, they really did have a pretty incredible season, and they needed to be on fire at the end of the season to beat this.
I was going to say that last stretch got us there. It was concerning at different points in the season.
Okay, now we get to our first disagreements, Andrew. Our first disagreements. We finally got into them.
Okay.
The Denver Nuggets, preseason over-under 43.5. It was looking good for me early because I took the under. Denver was looking out of sorts, you might say. They did not look like an impressive team. But
where's Jeremy Grant?
Where's Jeremy? Everyone was Jeremy Grant. And we knew where he was. We were saying he's in Detroit. they beat it. They ended up with 47 wins, beat it by 3.5 wins. You took the over. I don't know what to say. Like, they have been one of the more impressive teams at the end of the season as well, up there with Portland. And meanwhile, they lost, you know, arguably their second or third best player with Jamal Murray. It's really been an incredible run here at the end of the season.
They just kind of continue to evolve into this Jokic-based team. And then MPJ, he's been a revelation. He's been everything that people thought that he could be. He's been that and maybe more. He's been very impressive as a shot creator, as a guy that hits the three ball. He's really stepped up, which has been kind of the key to them getting these 47 wins.
Yeah, there was a stat about his 3-point shooting. You know, one of those, it was a graph plotting him against other shooters in the league. And I think it was for contested 3-point percentage. And he was like in the far top right corner of that graph. Like, he is one of the elite shooters in the game, and it is only his second year.
Mm-hmm.
Another one we flipped on, this time in my favor, Andrew, the Milwaukee Bucks over under 50 and a half. Did you know that before the season, they had the highest over under total in the league at 50 and a half?
Yeah.
And they only ended up with 46 wins.
Yeah.
So missed it by 4.5 games. You took the over. I took the under. So after nine teams, Andrew, those are the top nine records in the league. We are tied. We are tied, Andrew. Feeling pretty good so far. But after that, it starts getting significantly worse for me. Now, I just want to pick out a few before we go into some ones that we agreed with or disagree with. We got three absolutely wrong. And it was the Lakers, Atlanta, and the Knicks. Now, the Lakers one is obvious because LeBron got hurt. I think, you know, obviously if LeBron doesn't get hurt, we're doing good there. Their over-under was only 47 and a half. They only got to 42 wins. But I think Atlanta and New York are the two most interesting ones because you will admit, especially you, and I will admit for the Knicks, like the Hawks were your preseason, what is this team? What did they really do? Is this all a joke?
Yeah, definitely. Still do not deviate from that, but yeah, cool.
Really? So does that mean that you're feeling pretty confident about the Knicks in the 4-5 matchup?
It's all about like future potential with them. Do you see a path to them being a conference finals team?
I would say, it all hinges for me on DeAndre Hunter. Because he was their second best player before he got hurt. And if you bring him back and your core is DeAndre Hunter, Clint Capella, and Trae Young, like, I do think they're starting to build a defensive team around Trae that could work. And you supplement that with shooting with Gallo and Bogdanovich. Like, I don't think it's out of the question. Just because, like, they've been so good since Nate McMillan took over. I mean, they ended up beating their over under by 7.5 games, preseason 33.5, end up at 41 wins. And that was not assured when Lloyd Pierce was the coach. I mean, they were middling.
Oh, yeah.
We were feeling great about our preseason predictions about the Hawks. So they've really turned it around. Is there a conference finals team in there? I mean, probably not without a second star.
Yeah.
But
that's my whole thing. And that was the whole thing with the Hawks is that you don't have to go get all these guys. You don't have to do that. You can still try to get your second star. Cause I still think they still need another one of those guys. And if Bogdanovich was 23, then I'd be like, okay, like maybe you've got a shot to get there. Cause he can get better. But like, he's been very good, but this is probably what you're going to get from him moving forward, which is not bad, but I don't know. I just wish a little bit more for Atlanta.
I'll say this though. We watched Atlanta for a decade have this team with Joe Johnson and Josh Smith, now Horford. We're like,
sure.
You never believed in that team. No one ever believed in that Hawks team.
I'm just afraid we're heading for that same kind of ceiling where you just keep hitting, they reach their ceiling, great,
right?
But no, I just don't see them being better than Milwaukee, Brooklyn, Philly. I just don't see a chance of that. And then Miami's always going to be good. I think Boston will bounce back and be better next year. I just don't know. I think they're fine. They're fine and they're good and they've got some good players. That's great. I don't know. I just have loftier goals.
I brought up that Atlanta team because I just wanted to say that I have higher hopes, higher expectations for this Atlanta team just because I think that Trae Young is a superstar in this league. And I think he's had actually an amazing year and was just forgotten, which is fine because they were bad earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. But I believe in this team long term more than I've ever believed in those old Atlanta Hawks team, which were better teams. I mean, one of those Hawks teams won 60 games, but I never believed in those teams. Yeah. Which, by the way, how do you feel about the Hall of Fame? Because I was thinking as Chris Webber made it, and I just have – I do not like the Basketball Hall of Fame. because I feel like it's a basketball hall of very good. And I was thinking, like, Joe Johnson's probably a definite Hall of Famer, isn't he?
Like, with the amount of all-star teams he made and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Scores, yeah, points scored, probably.
But, like, he should not be a Hall of Famer, but he's going to be because those are the kind of guys that we reward. Like, do you have any great memories, any Joe Johnson memories?
No. He was good. But
he was very good.
There's no memories.
No memories. And I honestly, yeah. I feel the same way about Chris Webber. Chris Webber, a little bit more memorable. But yeah. I just like putting him up there with, like, this class this year with Kobe, Duncan, and KG. Like, those are Hall of Famers. Like, those are guys that I would tell people stories about.
Sick class, bro. Yeah.
Sick class. Anyways, really is. The Knicks. 22.5 over under this year. They were the biggest surprise in the league, beat their over under by 18.5 games. And we took the under, both of us.
Hey.
They beat it by 18.5 games. We took the under.
I mean, I didn't see this version of Randall. I didn't see like Randall as like the centerpiece of your team leading you to the playoffs.
Well, neither did the Knicks because they drafted Obi Toppin.
Yeah, that's the one thing. They could have another player on their team that could be helping.
I think they are going into the offseason the most interesting team in the league because they have the cap space to do something stupid, like really stupid. They have so much cap space. On the flip side, they have the cap space to dramatically improve this team.
Yeah,
and you know they're going to chase the wins. Like, they're going to try to recapture this moment with this team and go forward. Like, there's no chance that Julius Randle's leaving the Knicks. I'd be shocked. Like, he is going to be a centerpiece for their team going forward.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to probably bring back a lot of those guys. I mean, I think Nerlens has been that team. But they have cap space to, like, do something significant. And we know what the free agent class looks like this summer. And so I don't know what that could possibly be. I really like Lonzo on that team if they wanted to overpay for him.
I was going to say just Max Lonzo.
Max Lonzo. I don't think New Orleans would do it. I don't think they'd match.
I don't think so either. And that they're just heading. It feels like they're just heading down the same Anthony Davis route.
Well, did you see the David Griffin, his exit interview where he was like, they brought up the idea of spacing and shooting. And he basically said, we're never going to let that happen again. Like, not having enough shooting. Which is a very interesting thing to say because obviously they gave that big contract to Steven Adams, and I don't know how you fix the spacing and shooting while also playing Zion and Steven Adams together. So I'm very interested to see what they do. Or Jackson Hayes, for that matter. I mean, he's not a shooter either.
I know. Yeah.
So it seems like they've correctly diagnosed the problem, but then there does seem to be enough rumors and tea leaves out there suggesting that they might not match on a big Lonzo deal. Who's definitely one of their best shooters. Makes me just wonder what's going on there. Okay. So those were three in a row that we got terribly wrong. The Knicks one, especially. I'm embarrassed by the Knicks one. Cause I was, that
I'm
was
not,
one I was,
I'm not, I'm not embarrassed not? At all.
We took the under at 22.5. They would beat us by like 20 games.
I know, man. I know that. I get that. They've just been they've been a terrible team for so long. And there's just no reason to believe in them. There was no reason preseason to believe in that team.
See, more than any of these other ones that I got wrong, I feel like the thing I missed on the Knicks, and I even knew it, and I think we said it, was Tom Thibodeau is going to go for every single win. If he has to play his guys 40 minutes a night to get a win, he will do it. And so thinking that they would ever win 21 games, especially after we've seen what like it took for OKC to get to 21 games, like how much losing it took.
Yeah.
That's the part that makes me feel dumb.
Yeah. We missed on the life cycle of the Tom Thibodeau teams, which is great in the beginning and then just slowly deteriorates until everybody hates it.
Well, I focus too much on the ceiling of Tom Thibodeau, less on the floor. Like when they talk about DeMar DeRozan as a floor raiser, like Tom Thibodeau might be the ultimate floor raiser as a coach.
Yeah. Definitely.
When he comes into a team, like, they are going to get significantly better. The fact that he turned that into a top like three defense or whatever with basically the same roster is probably one of the most impressive achievements of the year.
It really is. Hey, Al, before we move on, let's go to the stream and do a little break. We have Miroslav in Germany. We have Hoopstock 69 reporting live from the moon. We have W Rose 27 from Kentucky. We have Wojciech from, I think he's from Poland. He didn't say here, but he says, what's up? Yoni from Israel. Let's see. We have Daniel from the UK saying, what's on? We have Jamie in Mexico. We have, let's see, Miyagi here. We have Davis in Latvia and Christos in Greece. Thanks so much for following along. If you want to get a shout out, make sure that you follow us on YouTube. Hit the like button, subscribe to our channel, and we'll be right back after this quick.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. And we're back from that quick break. Alex, let's look at some more over-unders.
Yeah, I'm just going to hit a couple that I thought were interesting, and it's probably timely to talk about the Washington Wizards, who over-under was 28.5, and they beat it by 5.5 games, winning 34 games. You took the over, I took the under, but I will remind you, we did this a day before the Russell Westbrook trade. And I feel pretty confident that if they had not made that trade, that team with John Wall would have gone under.
Yes. And at the time, I was quite confident that they were going to make the Russell Westbrook trade.
Oh, you were. That's unfair. You have more sources than I do. I have to rely on Luke.
I know. I had that in my back pocket.
He wasn't giving me anything. man, that game was rough last night. The Wizards.
Yeah. It really was rough. And it's really disappointing that we don't get to see Wizards Nets round one.
I know. I'm so mad at myself for buying into that Wizards team. Like, I was completely bought in to the point where my friend was texting me early in the game, like, oh, is Boston really going to pull this off? And I was like, no, come on. Boston's terrible. They're terrible. Yeah. And listen, Russ has to play better on Thursday night. He has to. And there are plenty of excuses to be made, and some of those are completely valid. Like, Bertans was terrible, and this roster in general for the Wizards has been terrible. Once again, Russ's co-star is not 100% going into the playoffs. But we also saw Russ lead this team from a cellar dweller. They had fewer wins than the Thunder less than 2 months ago. We saw him dominate over this last stretch of the season and take this team to where they're at. So we know he can do it. And so to see him have a bad game, which it was a bad shooting night, is obviously his rebounding numbers were still awesome. It was just frustrating to see that. And I just really hope he plays better, because you look on the other side, like, we've talked about it this whole season, like, Boston's been such a, like, out of Like, they're such a funky team. They have no idea what's going on. It never seemed like they were going to put things together. And then they lose Jaylen Brown. Then they lose Time Lord at part of the game. Marcus Smart turns his ankle, and it still ends up being a blowout. Like, I just felt that, like, that was a really letdown loss for the Wizards.
Yeah. Tatum was just overwhelming. He scored 50.
He was.
I mean, he was just too good. But I don't know. On the other side, we need the Wizards to beat the Pacers badly, because the next best thing to Russ KD is Russ Embiid, right?
Well, yeah. If our other option is like Embiid Sabonis, yes, right. I'll take Russ Embiid.
Russ and Joel Embiid have always beefed, and if we can get even five games, that will make it so much better than just this Pacers team that, you know, inevitably will lose. And right. there's just nothing really fun about them. And you know they're going to fire their coach. You know they're probably going to clear house. And it's just like, ugh. Like, get these guys out of here. Like, get them gone. Like, I wanted LaMelo in that next game anyways. And then it's like, oh, come on, guys. Like, get them out of here. But it does, if you just go off the performances from yesterday, you're not feeling good about the Zards at all.
Well, speaking of those Pacers that you apparently don't like, would you believe that in the preseason, you took the over on their 39.5 over under? I took the under, one of the few where I won when you did the opposite. They only ended up with 34 wins. I couldn't believe that you had faith in the Pacers at the beginning of the season. I feel like they're one of the teams that you are always targeting, one of your most hated teams.
I couldn't even recall one reason why I picked them over.
I don't know, but you did it. Now, a few that we got right that I am shocked that we both got right. Sacramento, we both took the over on 28.5. They hit it. They ended up with 31 wins. And I think our reasoning had to do with the fact that they are incapable of tanking. They cannot tank. I posted on Twitter the other day, in this playoff drought, which is now 15 seasons, they have acquired top three odds. So I'm not talking about what they ended up in the draft, like in the draft itself, what selection, acquiring the odds, like how OKC has top four odds. They've acquired top three odds only two times in 15 years, while also never making the playoffs. That is incredible.
They're just stuck in the phantom zone for forever.
They are, and they just rehired. Oh, I guess they're keeping Luke Walton, and their fans are miserable about it.
Yeah, they're just shooting their fans in the foot, just like it's just awful. That's just why. And the reasons were, well, he really understands what these players are going through. Bro, find somebody else.
Anyone.
He's not been good anywhere he's been. He's not been good. He had that one run with the greatest team of all time. Cool. Gosh.
All right. He said in an exit interview that a lot of coaches would come up to him after games this season and told him that the Kings played really hard. He said that.
Help us all.
What do you think
help
about us that? All.
Sorry, Sacramento.
I want to go over the ones that were closest.
Okay, I've got 5 minutes, Al.
I know.
Okay.
First one, Chicago. We both took the over. Over-under was 30. They end up at 31 wins. By the skin of our teeth, we got that one.
Wow.
Golden State. Golden State's over-under was 38.5. I thought there was no chance they were getting to that midway through the season. I took the under back in the preseason. You took the over. They end up at 39 wins. Beat it by half a game. Miserable. Oh. Two other teams that beat theirs or didn't beat theirs by half a game. One is Cleveland, who we both took the over on, and it really felt like they should have gotten there. 21.5 is their over under. They end up at 21 wins, miss it by half a game. And then, of course, the
22 wins.
Well, they had 22? Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah. Oh, we got
it. Yeah, they had 22. Yeah, we did it.
Oh, I'm changing that to green. I am changing that to green. Oh, that helps me so much. I needed that. Oh, wow. Yep. This means that I'm about to reveal your final score, Andrew. You're going to be impressed. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
The last one, of course, the Oklahoma City Thunder. 22.5 over under. Mm-hmm. I took the over. You took the under. They end up at 22 wins. Really, oh, the most insane undercover I've ever seen.
Ever. Yeah.
That in and of itself should make Thunder fans feel better. The fact that they hit that under, the fact that you can look back at this season, know that 22 and a half was the over under at the start of the season, and they hit the under. Like, at some point, you just got to say, okay, fine. They did enough. They did enough. They somehow got under 22 and a half. Okay, so Andrew, there were only 29 because, remember, Houston was off the board.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the James Harden.
Yeah.
First, I'll reveal my own record, which, let me do the math real quick. I ended up 14 and 15, basically what you would expect if you were not flipping bad. A coin.
Yeah.
Yuck. Oh, man. But you, yes. Andrew, you ended up for the 2021 preseason over-unders 20-9.
Wow.
20-9, over 66% correct.
Wow.
You could be living in two houses right now if you had bet all of those.
I should be betting money. What am I doing?
I don't know.
Oh, some of those were just so lucky. If I did bet money, I would have been freaking out at many points in the season, especially the Thunder. The Thunder had 20. The Thunder had 20 wins in the middle of March,
and they hit it. Congratulations to them and to us.
Yeah.
So tonight we got Lakers Warriors. I'm so pumped. We have a bet in the Down to Dunk group chat going on.
Yep.
Taylor made a wild mistake and decided to bet me that Denver was going to beat Portland a few nights ago on the last night of the season, even though it was already midway through the first quarter and Portland was up by an incredible amount. So I was like, yeah, sure, I'll take that bet. So to help him out, I did a double or nothing where I gave him the Lakers tonight and I took the Warriors, really just because I want to root against the Clippers. And so I want the Warriors to win so that the Lakers could potentially end up on the Clippers side of the bracket. That's what it's all about.
That is what it's all about for sure. Tonight during pregame, halftime, and postgame, I'll be on a live stream for The Athletic with Dave DeFore and special guests. So you can tune into that at The Athletic's YouTube channel. So subscribe to that. If you want to watch me talk about basketball some more, I'll be there. So, okay. The offseason begins, Al. We'll have the breakdown of Sam Presti's press conference on Friday, and should be pretty cool. Pretty cool. All right. Thanks, Al. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk to you guys again.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.